We move now to Haiti, where cleanup continues from Tropical Storm Jean. Weekend rain triggered massive flooding and mudslides. More than 700 people have died. Relief agencies have sent much-needed food and water to Haiti, but waterlogged roads have slowed down their relief efforts. Joining us now by phone from Port-au-Prince to update us on the current situation is Susanna Neesmith, a reporter for the Miami Herald. She's been covering the story. Hi, Susanna.
Hello.
Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thanks for having me.
You've been in Gonaive, which has been hit the worst by Tropical Storm Jean. Can you tell us a little bit about the situation now?
Yes, well, at least one and possibly a couple other rivers above Gonaive were flooded out from Jean. The road into Gonaive from the north is completely cut off. The road from the south is a disaster with knee-high water, trucks overturned all over it. And in the city itself, there is still water everywhere. There were hundreds killed, and people are still living on their rooftops. Their homes are still flooded.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Suzanne, is this true just for Gonaive, or is this true for much of Haiti or Hispaniola?
No, it is not a problem for the whole country. However, there are isolated towns above Gonaive that we are hearing are also flooded and also completely cut off from any aid. At this point, the World Food Program and the Red Cross have been able to get assistance into Gonaive. They were able to arrive with food just yesterday afternoon, although this disaster happened Saturday night and Sunday morning.
The death toll has increased significantly. Do people expect it will creep even higher?
People I spoke with expected that when the waters finally recede, and that has not happened yet, that they will find people buried in the mud and trapped in homes that were flooded. And they're still having trouble identifying even who has been the bodies that have been found.
Is that they're having trouble identifying the dead, or they just can't even put a number to how many people are actually missing?
A little of both. Because these floods also cut off so many roads, families are having trouble getting in touch with their members to find out if maybe someone escaped, got to higher ground, or got caught in the flood. And they are having trouble identifying the bodies that they have. They're concerned that some of these bodies have washed down from the isolated towns. They may never identify them. The Red Cross had a plan yesterday to take photos of them and burn them because of the health crisis they may have with so many dead bodies.
Is that going to be accepted, the burning of the bodies, rather than the interment of them?
Well, at this point, there's very few places where you could even possibly bury them. So much of Gonaive is still underwater.
Have supplies reached those who need them?
Supplies have been slow in coming, but Haitians are very resourceful people. They've grown accustomed to suffering, and there was some food available in the markets even yesterday before World Food Program got in. There were people who had found gasoline to sell. Haitians have grown accustomed to not relying on the outside world to help them too much.
Susanna Neesmith is a reporter for the Miami Herald. She joined us by phone from Port-au-Prince. Susanna, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Massive deforestation is largely to blame for Haiti's devastation. Here to discuss this is Ariel Jean-Baptiste, an associate with the Haiti Democracy Project. Ariel is also with us from Port-au-Prince. Welcome, Ariel.
Hello. How are you?
I'm well. Can you tell us how long deforestation's been an issue in Haiti?
Maybe the last 50 years, it's been an issue. It's been growing the last 50 years, but it really, really intensified the last 30 years.
And why is that?
Well, because people have been cutting trees, and one of the main reasons is that you have the people from the provinces and the rural area coming into the big cities, okay? And the ones that are left have nothing else, but they cut the trees to make charcoal in order to survive. That is one of the major problems.
And is there any other way for people to find sources of energy or fuel?
Well, in the 80s, the Shell Company and the UN and the USAID, they had this project where they replanted trees. It worked for a while until the embargo took place in the 90s. And at that moment, cooking gas became a rarity and people started cutting trees again.
And can you tell us why the embargo was put in place and remind us?
Well, the embargo was put in place after the coup d'etat, the military coup against President Jean Bertrand Aristide in 1991. And unfortunately, cooking gas was supposed to be a humanitarian resource, but it was at the beginning, it was kept from being imported here. And when it did come in, it became so expensive that people could no longer afford it. So they cut trees in order to cook.
Is it more affordable now?
No, it's not. It is not affordable. Even a charcoal is even expensive. It's just that it's a vicious circle. It's a vicious circle in terms of the charcoal. It's a vicious circle in terms of the cooking gas. It used to be the government used to subsidize it. It no longer does, which means it's as expensive as it was, as you know, that people can't find it. Everyday people have to cut down trees in order to cook.
Ariel Jean-Baptiste, do you think the recent devastation from the tropical storm will prompt rethinking about prices, or at least rethinking about efforts to reforest Haiti?
Well, what happens is that the government needs to take unpopular decisions regarding this, because people have built all over the mountains and all over the areas, and they've cut off all the trees. In order to do this, some unpopular decisions need to be made and to move these people out of there. Right now, we need to focus. We are going to an environmental catastrophe, and it's not only Gonaïves. It's going to happen elsewhere.
Ariel Jean-Baptiste is an associate with the Haiti Democracy Project. Ms. Jean-Baptiste, thanks so much. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. In Washington, I'm Corva Coleman.